is a song that you can't get out of your head.
You can't. And, you know, she won one of the awards at the Brits the other week as well for whatever it is, the longest person living in...
the longest person living ever.
In pop. I can't remember what the award's called, but, you know, one of those legend awards.
What I'm really enjoying at the moment is I keep on seeing pictures of Kylie wearing Madonna T-shirts and Madonna wearing Kylie T-shirts. It's quite cute, very wholesome.
Quite nice. And, yeah. And Kylie going, oh, my goodness me, I've aged so much better than Madonna.
Oh.
Anyway. Oh. Valine's a massive fan of Kylie. She knows everything about Kylie.
Valine is?
Yeah, she is. When she came on the show last week, she just, like, had Kylie's birthday off the top of her head like that in a second.
Oh, did she bring in a bottle of Kylie Prosecco?
No, she didn't. She should have done.
Yeah, next time you need to ask her. Valine. Anyway, talking of inspiring women, it was International Women's Day on the 8th of March. And... if you don't know, International Women's Day is a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural and political achievements of women. It also marks a call to action for accelerating women's equality. In 2024, the campaign theme has been Inspire Inclusion, which emphasises the importance of diversity and empowerment in all aspects of society.
Yeah.
So have you seen personally lots of these inclusion inspired events happening? I haven't really seen too much in terms of the actual theme, because sometimes when they have a theme, everything is to do with the theme. This year I felt it's just kind of been mentioned.
I haven't seen a huge great deal, to be honest, but you know, things that I've seen that have been very inclusive that have been tagged onto that. So, you know, there's like Donny, Women in Music's event, their record-breaking event, was very inclusive. So they kind of talked about how important that was, particularly from the, you know, this is all about the intersectionality of people, isn't it? So, you know, there's women, but there's also women with disabilities, women of colour, you know, all sorts of different things to consider. So I've seen some of that, I guess. Not a huge amount, though. But I should have done a bit of a scan of the news reports to see if there was any. Usually there's a kind of hook around some new piece of research or something, or there's a, you know, there's a hook of some stats or other. I suppose the stats that came out about, you know, the Runnymede Trust and Freelands Foundations, those sorts of things I saw, but I didn't see much more than that.
Yeah,
but that it almost
feels like a start towards something new for International Women's Day, because up until now it's always been about, okay, we need to improve the equity of women so that equality is on the cards. And now it feels like a movement towards, okay, so we've been looking at equality for women for a long time, how are we going to ensure that that is all women and not just a group of women that are very easily accessible to support? So that's great. Maybe in following years we'll see more that kind of really agitates that subject. Interestingly, the UN, so I was doing some research into what's happening this year for International Women's Day, and the UN is very much about investing in women this year for International Women's Day, and they're saying that if current trends continue in terms of gender inequality, more than 342 million women and girls could be living in extreme poverty by 2030.
Wow.
Around the world, which is hugely disproportionate to men. So they're calling for a worldwide investment of $360 billion. And in doing so, they believe that equality between genders could boost GDP per capita by 20% and spark almost 300 million jobs by 2035. And as somebody that likes a statistic, I think that is a very loud voice in terms of what are the benefits of making sure people are equal. Actually, there's a real cost benefit.
Yeah, there is. I find it interesting how they get to those figures as well, though. Where did 360 billion come from? Like, how has that been made? What's that for? And is that about training and skills? Is that about kind of reducing, you know, is that about reducing poverty from the very beginning? Is that about kind of, you know, free school meals and those sorts of things? Or it's just kind of interesting how they kind of, you know, the UN throws out these massive figures and you think, well, actually, what does that involve?
I think reading into that, and to answer on a very minimal term, they were talking about women spending more time on unpaid work than men. And if men, if women were accountable for the unpaid care work that they do, and a monetary value was assigned to it, that's where these values come from. So it's not necessarily about women being inactive, it's about women being active in things that don't pay money and don't have any kind of economical produce at all. So they were saying that if these activities in terms of unpaid care work were assigned a monetary value, they'd account for more than 40% of GDP in general, which is quite significant. So that's all of the cultural things around women kind of being the carers of the home, being carers of parents. And this, obviously, this is globally. It's not just the UK. We've got a very different culture to, say, China or some other areas of the world. So
I think also the other thing to look at is that there's caring, but there's also voluntary stuff.
Yeah.
So if you look at the kind of voluntary sector, then, you know, the voluntary sector has said for quite a while that women are more likely to volunteer than men.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do that for all sorts of different reasons. And, you know, it's tends to be a higher age group of people. It tends to be those who have more kind of financial mobility in in older life, that kind of thing. But the interesting thing is that it's always about there's more women who are likely to volunteer informally compared with men. But apparently there's no difference on formal volunteering, but informally, and I kind of see that. You sort of see you know, women being the kind of informal volunteers of, oh yes, I'll help out with that.
Yeah. And that's, I'll be on the PTA.
Yes, yeah, so that's everything from the kind of the church cake sale to, you know, whatever else it is. And it's about, I think it's about community. I think it's about the fact that, you know, women enjoy, not all women, but some women enjoy being part of a community and feel also the responsibility to a community.
Yeah. And that ultimately, that's a good thing.
And it's not that men don't.
In terms of equality, you would kind of hope that men would feel that they could be part of that community too. And that's something that we could all enjoy together rather than it just being solely on one gender's shoulders.
But the challenge for that, I suppose, is that if you're looking at kind of a post-pandemic age as well, then formal volunteer, we are struggling with volunteering in our society at the moment. So that all of that wonderful connection that happened during lockdown, we're now seeing it's harder, because it's harder for people to volunteer because it's harder to earn money.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of think, well, what's happening in the volunteering sector if that affects women more than men? If they're and if that many women are living in poverty, they aren't going to be able to volunteer. So there's all of that kind of the knock-on impact.
The,
of all
the
of
value
that,
of time, isn't
lots
it?
Lots of our sectors really survive on volunteers.
Mm. I can remember when I used to volunteer at Girl Guiding. I was there for 15 odd years. Actually, towards the end of my time at Girl Guiding, there was a real struggle to find people to take on those leadership positions with the groups, because actually all of the women that were catered to be able to lead a group actually didn't have time to, because they all had full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And all of the women that would have been in those roles previously would have been either philanthropic housewives or maybe some retired ladies that would like to help. But, you know, there was a real sparsity to the people that could help in those leadership positions.
Yeah. So that's an interesting bit of survey around what's going on in the UN, what the UN is calling for. Whether or not that happens, we will see. But what you were also going to tell us about an example, weren't you?
Yeah.
From how
so this is something that I found really funny, and a very good reason why we need to celebrate International Women's Day in cultural terms. Mm. So pick this up from The Guardian. So in Denmark... Now, Denmark is a place that you definitely think of as very equal in terms of societies across the world. In Copenhagen, there are more statues of mythical creatures than women. And just to push that, there are more statues of horses than women.
Wow.
In fact, only 5 in 101 statues in Copenhagen depict women, with 26 of them being animals and 70 of men. So yeah, I mean, they obviously like animals in Copenhagen, because that is quite a lot of animal statues and mythical statues, but still, 5 in comparison to 70
five
in terms of
women.
Celebrating humans is quite different.
And 70 men.
Yeah. The promising part of this story is the capital is seeking to make equitable change. So the culture minister, Jakob Engel Schmidt, has pledged to spend up to 50 million Danish kroner, which is about 5.7 million, on correcting the imbalance, and is starting a committee to propose women to be commended with new statues. So they're going to start building lots of new statues in Copenhagen for us all to see.
Can I just go and tell them not to do that? Can I go and tell them to put that money into training programs for women to get into, get them into the workforce?
I mean, they might also be doing that. It is Copenhagen.
You know, statues are nice and all, but, you know, and yes, the, you know, statues create an opportunity for sculptors to be paid for work and all the rest of it, which is nice. But can they be sculptors of women made by women?
Yeah, I can definitely send, a strongly worded letter to the culture secretary.
Thank you.
But apparently, Engel Schmidt has a 3-month-old daughter. And this is where this has kind of come from. He said that before his child's birth,
he didn't care about women.
He didn't care. No, he had noticed when walking around Copenhagen that most of the sculptures were of men, horses and mythical animals. And it made him worry that future generations would think Denmark had been created only by men.
Mythical creatures.
And mythical creatures.
He said, the mythical creatures got there all in.
They all got there first. It was the elves.
Unicorns, they did it. Blame them.
He said that he had noticed that there was a problem with representation in Denmark, both in business and arts, and it had been one of his main focuses of the last year to change that. So maybe we should write him a letter and
we should
think about some training and stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, we can go
first
over to Copenhagen. I know some people that could help out with this, but it is nice that it is being considered within Parliament in Denmark. And apparently this isn't just a problem in Copenhagen, it is across the whole of Denmark. Apparently just 31 out of 321 statues in their main cities are of women in Denmark.
Yeah, but we have the same issue here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's insane the number of statues there are in this country.
We just have less mythical creatures.
I know. There's a thing. How many mythical creature statues do we have in the UK? Go.
Call in.
Kelpies. I know there's kelpies in Scotland. That's all I know.
I don't know. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Let's get some more music.
Okay. What are we going to listen to next?
Life. Can we get a bit of Randy Crawford? Amazing.
You left off the Firm's events guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
This week you can go to the Phoenix FM open mic night over at the Essex Arms on 10 Warley Hill. That is on Monday, and that's hosted by our very own Kev Piggott from 8pm to 10pm. All tracks are recorded and a selection are played on the Sunday Session Show every Sunday from 10am. You can find out more details on Facebook. You can also go to Fjord's Requiem and Rutter's Gloria, which is at the Emmanuel Church in Laindon Road, Billericay. That's on the Saturday, 16th of March, where Billericay Choral Society will be performing the ever-popular and beautiful Fjord's Requiem, plus Gloria by John Rutter and other well-known works. Professional baronet Alistair Murray will be performing solos, and refreshments are available at interval. That is a 7:30 start with tickets at £12 in advance, and you can book at the www.billericaychoral.co.uk. On Monday the 18th of March, Botanist or Not? Plant Origins, History and Cultivation. Find out more at the Chantry Centre in Billericay. A talk by Jacqueline Aviette, hosted by Billericay Horticultural Society from 8pm to 10pm. That is just £3. Visitors are welcome and refreshments are available. More details are at the Billericay Horticultural Society website. And finally, on Friday the 22nd of March, you can go to the Billericay Community Open Day, which is at the Chantry Centre. Come along to meet with local clubs and organisations to find out about volunteering opportunities within the community, support and wellbeing and social activities. It's free entry and refreshments will be available. More details on Facebook. And those are the events of the week.
Phoenix FM's events guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Visit us at 1 Copfold Road, Brentwood, or call on 01277 222269. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
That sunny morning waiting on us now. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We can be very free. Just take it from me, honey child. Let me tell you now, child. That morning sun to greet us with a loving light so warm. That morning sun is here to meet us, waiting on the waking up of everyone. She ain't gonna quit till you're smiling now. Tell you, child, let me tell you, honey, child, that morning sun has come to greet you. She's peeking round the corner, just waiting just to meet you, shining down on all your troubles. Let me tell you, child. Let me tell you, honey, child. 'Cause this world wasn't made for dreaming. This world wasn't made for you. This world made for believing in all the things you're gonna do now, honey, child. Let me tell you now, child. world made for believing in all the things you're gonna do now, honey child. Let me tell you now, child. Ah, honey child. Let me tell you now, child. Ah, honey child. Tell your child. Let me tell your child. Let me tell your
Oh, I love that. I love it, love it, love it. Makes me feel happy every time I hear that. That was Melody Gardo with Morning Sun. We have played it a few times on the programme.
It's funny that was in the playlist and I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
I didn't even cognitively check what was in our playlist today.
I love it. I hope you do too. But as just before the break, before we had those songs, I shouted out, Kelpies!
mythical creatures Claire has seen out and about,
because we were saying how many statues of mythical creatures are there in the UK. We're going to find out, but the one I came to mind immediately was the Kelpies that are based up in Falkirk in Scotland, and this is the largest equine sculpture in the world. They're 30 metre high horse heads that are near Helix Park near the M9 motorway. It's been a massive boon to tourism in the area, but I just they're there because they're a monument to Scotland's horse-powered industrial heritage. But they're also known as the Kelpies. And I don't really know why this has happened, because celebrating Scotland's horse-powered industrial heritage with a horse's head makes sense to me, but calling it a Kelpie doesn't. So a Kelpie is a shape-changing aquatic spirit of Scottish legend. And Kelpies are said to haunt rivers and streams, usually in the shape of a horse, but they're also, but they can appear in many different shapes and forms. So they can be this kind of tame horse beside a river. They're particularly, apparently, they're particularly attractive to children. Nastiness coming, alert. Mm. Children should take care, because if they do climb onto the Kelpie's back, its sticky hide will not allow them to dismount, and then it'll dive down, drag the children to the bottom of the river and eat them.
Oh,
so,
well, that's,
you know,
that's one way to fish
beware.
For snacks.
It is. And they also can appear in human form. They can be a beautiful young woman hoping to lure young men to their death. Or they can take the form of a hairy human.
Of course.
Lurking by the river, ready to
also waiting to lure men.
Yeah, ready to hairy jump out
beauty.
At unsuspecting travellers and crush them to death in a vice-like grip. So they can drown you and eat you, crush you and eat you, lure you into
they
a
never
watery
told
grave.
Us about this at Brownies.
No,
no.
And you had a Kelpie badge.
Yeah, I was a Kelpie.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's what I got when they picked my name out of the Harry Potter hat.
There you go. I always knew that you were hoping to lure young men to their death. That's why
it's my
here.
Hairy features, isn't it?
It's a good job the video cam's not off.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the show notes. That was. But I'm going to bring this one back. We are going to talk about mythical creature statues in the UK.
Okay.
So shout out
think
if you
of
have
one.
Any more.
Peter Pan is in Kensington Gardens.
Is he a creature?
Well, technically, he's
right,
mythical,
then.
Isn't he? So.
Yeah, okay.
And there's some other things going on in the statue that are also creatures.
Yes, you're expanding that into literary mythical.
Well,
characters.
I kind of presume the Copenhagen one, the Little Mermaid, would be a mythical creature.
But a mermaid's a mythical creature.
But so's a flying boy. That's lost his shadow.
Anyway,
I mean, this could be a whole show on its own. What will be mythical and what doesn't.
We're going to do that. Should we talk about events?
Yes. So what's coming up? So on Saturday, the 23rd of March, you can go to the President's Community Hall in Laindon, where there is the Essex Indian Celebrations Holi Festival of Colours.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, the Festival of Colours is coming up.
Lovely.
So there'll be lots of events like that. And you can join from as little as £16 per adult and then £12 per child, which is very reasonable. And you can book on Eventbrite for that.
And lots of mouth-watering Indian food and organic colour play as well. Lots of live performances, loads of things. Phoenix Art Club with Bina and Eve every Saturday from 3 till 5pm at my place, Creative Saturdays in Harold Hill. It's free to attend and you can join artists Eve Pollard. Any relation to Sue?
Possibly. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah. Eve Pollard and Bina Khan in free creative sessions. They're looking forward to meeting you and sharing their skills while you craft together. Every week it's aimed towards adults, although young adults and primary children are welcome too. And there's no need to book. You can just drop in.
That's a very nice one. They messaged to ask us to give them a shout out. On Sunday the 17th of March, you can go to the Essex Trans Plus Social at the Art Place in Chelmsford. That is free. And that's a social that is fun and inclusive and is every third Sunday of the month at 1pm. And you can just drop in to that with your at your convenience. You don't need to book.
And Our House, the Madless musical, where is this?
So this is at the Brentwood Theatre, both of these two are.
Yeah. Our House, the Madness musical is coming to the Brentwood Theatre on the 12th to the 16th of March from 7.30 to 10pm. Tickets are £19 or £20. And also, if you haven't booked yet, I have, William Shakespeare's Henry V is on the 23rd of March from 7.30 to 9pm. And of course, we had the lovely ladies in a couple of weeks ago telling us all about that. I booked to go with a group of friends to go and see Catherine et al. In that show.
It was very nice as well to see them in the newspaper this week as well. They had a big double page spread in the Brentwood Gazette.
Oh, were they? I missed that.
Good for them.
Oh, lovely. Let's have a bit more music then. Can we have The Mother, please, by Brandi Carlile?
Welcome to the end of being alone inside your mind. You're tethered to another and you worried all the time. You always knew the melody, but you never heard it rhyme. She's fair and she is quiet, Lord. She doesn't look like me. She made me love the morning. She's a holiday at sea. The New York streets are as busy as they always used to be. But I am the mother of Evangeline. The first things that she took from me were selfishness and sleep. She broke 1,000 heirlooms I was never meant to keep. She filled my life with color, canceled plans and trashed my car. But none of that was ever who we are. Outside of my windows are the mountains and the snow. I hold you while you're sleeping and I wish that I could go. All my roadie friends are out accomplishing their dreams. But I am the mother of Evangeline. And they've still got their morning paper. The skeptics and the wine. Oh, but all the wonders I have seen, I will see a second time. From inside of the ages through your eyes. You are not an accident where no one thought it through. The world that stood against us made us mean to fight for you. And when we chose your name, we knew that you'd fight the power too. You're nothing short of magical and beautiful to me. Oh, I'll never hit the big time without you. so they can keep their treasure and their ties to the machine. 'Cause I am the mother of Evangeline. They can keep their treasure and their ties to the machine. 'Cause I am the mother of Evangeline.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We are your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Looking to celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m, contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room, making your celebration that bit more special.
Could you give the precious gift of time? Our St Francis Hospice charity shops urgently need more volunteers. By volunteering at our shops, you'll be helping us to make a real difference to local people that need our experienced care. You'll also gain new skills and make new friends along the way. Apply to volunteer in our shops today. Go to sfh.org.uk/volunteer.
was Emmy Lou by First Aid Kit. And we've been talking about International Women's Day, we've been talking about Mother's Day, and therefore inspirational and trailblazing women are the theme of our show, along with all the amazing singers and songwriters and composers that we've been sharing through our playlist. So here's a few more examples of women who have made a significant impact in the creative industries, and I thought we'd go a bit broader into the creative industries.
Yeah.
And why we should recognise some of their trailblazing leadership, which has paved the way for many more women like them. So starting off in fashion, if you think about fashion, I automatically think of Coco Chanel. That's the first person that comes to mind when I think about fashion designers. Born in 1883 in France, she is famous for her timeless designs, trademark suits and little black dresses. She had a brief career as a singer before opening her first clothes shop in 1910. She was actually sent to an orphanage where she learned the trade of a seamstress, and school vacations were spent with relatives in the capital of Moulins, where Chanel learned to sew, and with more flourish than the nuns at the monastery had been able to teach her. She never went to college.
I quite like that as a sentence.
I know.
Sentence.
I love it. Yeah. She never went to college, so she learned her practical skills and foundation knowledge on sewing because of the nuns that raised her. She went on to be one of the most well-known fashion designers, and was the only fashion designer who featured in Time magazine's list of the 100 most influential people of the 20th century. So big up to Chanel. And also Chanel, just because she came from, you kind of think of Chanel as being somebody who must have come from an exorbitantly rich background, but actually she really didn't.
No.
So started off life in an orphanage and got her skills through there.
And you can kind of watch her retrospective in her biographical film.
You can, absolutely.
Moving on, Jennifer Lawrence. This is an interesting one. So you probably know Jennifer Lawrence from her roles in The Hunger Games and Mother. So I went to see that cinema.
Yeah.
That's an interesting film. But did you know that she didn't finish her education and dropped out to pursue her career in acting? So she was discovered while vacationing in New York City with her family when she was 14, and quickly landed a part in a TV series, The Bill Engvall Show, followed by roles in films that included The Burning Plain, Winter's Bone and X-Men First Class. With her films grossing over $5.5 billion worldwide, Jennifer Lawrence is often cited as the most successful actress of her generation. She's also the only person born in the 1990s to have won an acting Oscar.
Yeah, and also I think between 2015 and 2016 or something, she was the highest grossing female actor.
Mm.
And
she is just an extremely good actress.
She is. And actor. I saw this thing that she was doing. I think she was in one of those, those US chat shows. And she was going out into the streets of New York or Los Angeles or wherever it's filmed and asking people if they recognised her. And she was going up and asking people, do you know the actress Jennifer Lawrence? And they were going, oh, yeah. And they were saying, what film has she been in? And they were going, oh, God, Jennifer Lawrence. What's she? And she's kind of making this point that, you know, aside from being the highest paid actress in 2015, 2016, nobody really knows who she is.
Nobody knows her by face, yeah.
But I just thought I'd put an actor in because she has... she has got this kind of status, and we often think about, you know, others in the acting world, like maybe Nicole Kidman or others. But Jennifer Lawrence has, you know, the only one in 1990s to have won an acting Oscar. So there you go.
Yeah.
Bonnie Ross. So she has worked on, so she's kind of more contemporary. She's worked on some of the biggest games in history, including Gears of War, Mass Effect and Halo. So this is obviously the gaming industry. She started off her career obtaining a computer science degree and coaching middle school girls basketball. Microsoft, when Microsoft entered the market of publishing PC sports games in the early 90s, Bonnie jumped at the chance to do something different, and she became a producer on Microsoft's NBA Full Court Press before working on even bigger titles. In 2007, Bungie purchased its independence from Microsoft, leaving the publisher holding the Halo franchise. Ross was listed in Fortune magazine's 2014 article of 10 most powerful women in video games, which noted she was responsible for defining the vision and leading the Halo franchise, which has sold more than 60 million copies worldwide and helped grow the Halo franchise beyond gamings with books, video series and TV series. And it's not often that we hear of a name in the gaming industry as a woman. And Halo is massive. I mean, even I've heard of Halo.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive.
One of the biggest and one of the first biggest of the biggest. You know, it was one of the starters in terms of that franchise era of gaming, wasn't it?
And let's just recognise that there was a woman behind that.
Yes. Annie Atkins. So this lady is relatively new to the design industry, but she is really making waves. She's one of the few people that show what graphic design in film is like. So this is an area of design that not many people know about, but it's really important and an integral part of film. So Annie Atkins has worked on huge blockbusters, probably most noticeably the Grand Budapest Hotel, and she brings everyone along with her journey. She also runs workshops to encourage other people to pursue this line of design. It's not something that I immediately think of when I think of film, but actually graphic design is everywhere, isn't it?
So, you know, in the Grand Budapest Hotel, you know when they have like, I think it was the boxes of chocolates or the box of cakes or something, these beautifully designed boxes with this beautiful lettering, this beautiful imagery on it, stylistic imagery on it. All of that is her work.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of that layer of detail, and you see it when you go to things like Harry Potter, the kind of, you know, the place up near Watford, the World, where you can kind of go into all the back of scene stuff and you see the illustrators and the designers. And it's just kind of recognizing that, you know, particularly for things like those very visual films, the kind of the content and the quality of all of that design work, and there's the most amazing women behind all of that. So
you're working between graphic design that's realism and also fantastical because it's a film.
Yeah, definitely.
Very cool.
So Annie Atkins is a good one to shout out, as is Ruth Orkin, who is a photojournalist and filmmaker, one of the most recognisable names in photography and an Oscar-nominated director as well. She's forged the way for creative women in the 1940s by securing work with all the major magazines in a very male-dominated world of the time. And she created this iconic photograph called American Girl in Italy. So if you Google that, there's a picture, a photograph of an American girl walking down the street, and basically it's a street full of Italian men who have all stopped to stare at her as she walks past. And it represents the resilience and strength of her fellow females who wanted to travel and experience the world on their own. And she's obviously, Ruth Orkin has paved the way for many female filmmakers and photojournalists after her.
Right, I think we have time for
one more.
One more. Which one would you like to? Because there's so many we can be talking about.
Let's do Elizabeth Scott, because she was really interesting. She's a British architect whose career took off when she won a competition to design the Shakespeare Memorial Theatre in Stratford-upon-Avon, and she beat 70 all-male competitors. She hired women on her projects and worked with the Fawcett Society to promote wider acceptance of women in professions that they were not typically associated with. She disliked being called a female architect. She just preferred to be called an architect. And she was the great niece of architect George Gilbert Scott, who designed St Pancras Station. She also was the second cousin of Giles Gilbert Scott, who's the designer of Battersea Power Station.
Wow.
And she has made huge steps forward for women in the world of architecture. And recent figures, I don't know if they are since the last couple of years, but certainly before COVID, recent figures show that of all the creative industries, architecture has the best balance of male and female employees. Yeah. Just interestingly, despite the fact that it has one of the longest training periods to become an architect, it's 7 years. So that's kind of interesting that hasn't affected a dropout of women.
You've put a picture in the show notes of the Shakespeare Memorial Theatre. And actually, if you put that alongside Battersea Power Station and St Pancras, there's something in the blood. Yeah. You need to go home and Google all of these images.
For sure.
Yeah, bloodline aesthetics.
Yes.
Right, we're going to have some more music very quickly. What would you like to listen to?
Can we have... Oh, I just love Feist, 1, 2, 3, 4.
9 or 10. Money can't buy you back the love that you had then.
Charging Systems, your local independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710 459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hutton? And Spice. All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.huttonspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leilina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
And that's all we have time for this week.
That's gone very quickly.
It has indeed.
But then it does when you talk about exceptional women. We will be back next week with more news and reviews from the arts and cultural world. And it's also National Social Prescribing Day next week. So we'll be taking a look at what social prescribing is and how culture and health are vital for prevention and recovery of physical and mental health challenges. But until then, we're going to leave you with Nigel, our in-house soul and funk DJ, who will guarantee to get you moving on a Sunday night. And he's also got a guest.
Oh, a lady guest. But first we'll leave you with a couple more tracks from Amazing Women. And that's Yola and Mahalia. That's all for now. I've been Natalie.
And I've been Claire. And this has been the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Say, if I had to do it all. like I belong. Don't leave me, you won't leave me here alone. Cast your eyes like summer skies, blue.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.